brought to you by Burr Foreman and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be.
All right, Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Results Matter Radio, brought to you by our friends at Burr and Foreman. Stone, how have you been doing?
I've been doing really well, and I'm getting fired up. I will be traveling to exotic Dayton, Ohio on Friday.
Congratulations.
I'm going to collect my youngest, who has been up there interning with her cousin in the graphic arts / babysitting arena. It was a mixed internship.
How'd that go? Did she do anything interesting?
I really do think that she's learned an awful lot, and she's had a lot of fun, but she's homesick. But the real win is she has started reading more. And so my Kindle bill has gone way up, but my oldest kid has always been so interested in reading, and now my Kelly is as well. So that was a win. So I'm going to Dayton. I'll do the Montgomery Boathouse Ribs, and then we'll drive back to town.
Boom. Sounds like a full weekend.
How about you? You got some cinema plans? Usually you have a movie on.
I want to see the movie The Way, Way Back. That's on my list.
That's a real title?
Yes.
See, these things don't even get on my radar.
I know.
I got a great review from the 27 people I fed last Friday night up at the Mountain House on the Lone Ranger. So I think that's...
Really?
Yes. You've seen it?
No. The box office did not give it a good review.
Oh, no? All right. Well, that's what I'll be doing if we get back in time. But none of that is as important, as exciting as what we got going here this morning. This is going to be a really interesting show. A little bit later in the program, we are going to get a chance to catch up with Keith Radford. He is no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone. We've had him in the studio before. Love the service that they have over there at Uber, and looking forward to learning more about that. But first up on Results Matter this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Regional Vice President with Randstad USA. Please join me in welcoming to the show Miss Rebecca Harrell. How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing great. We are delighted to have you. I doubt seriously that there are very many listeners that don't have a little bit of a feel for or haven't heard of Randstad, but let's do our diligence. What's the mission, purpose? What do you guys do and who do you do it for?
Well, you know, Randstad is actually the second largest global HR staffing and services firm in the world. And we are headquartered here in Atlanta. Our North American headquarters are here actually in the Cobb County area. We're about to move into a new space. So we're very excited about that. And I really appreciate you having us here today to talk about what kind of the trends and things that are going on in the marketplace.
So now, what are you seeing in the marketplace? You know, there's talk on both sides about the economy's getting better, but it seems like the unemployment isn't really getting better. So what's going on out there?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I hear so many mixed reviews always, and what I can share is just what I've seen. And one of the great things about Atlanta, it is a huge growth opportunity in varied industries, and we have truly seen an uptick in the opportunities that you see. You can see it out in job postings that are out there, especially for our RandstadStaffing.com. You can also see it in some of the other job sites. But for us, it's really seen a true growth of opportunity. And, you know, a lot of it is specialized depending upon, you know, if we're looking at transportation or healthcare, financial services, construction, all those are truly a growth. And probably one of the biggest growths that we've seen has been the professional business services that's probably had the biggest increase, especially for May.
Now, how do you define professional business services?
It's really the, you know, business to business type opportunities, whether it's sales, whether it's, in my world of office and admin, where we can provide office support to businesses. So it's really any type of professional but businesses consulting type firms.
But it doesn't include middle-aged radio hosts, which is what I was fishing for, I think. You know, we had a conversation earlier in the week on a different show out of the Glen Lake studio with those economic development people, and they were saying one of the things that make this whole area so attractive is we've got a good wealth of talent here in town, don't we?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's interesting, as you know, we say our clients, and our clients are actually part of our talent as well, and it's very important for us to be able to engage, you know, strong talent out there because we want to be able to fill the opportunities for our clients. So it's very important for us to find strong people in the marketplace basis. And so we're constantly adding to, you know, our databases that we have and really networking and getting to know the people that are out there in the marketplace, especially ones that are, if they're ready to make change or ones that are, you know, even, you know, maybe it's a timing issue, but we want to know who you are. So that's very important to us as we start adding, you know, our opportunities, especially even internally, as well as externally for our clients.
So you're kind of a leading indicator, right, for the economy, because the more, the busier you are, the more that companies are hiring somebody.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not just, you know, I think a lot of times we take a step back and say, well, you know, a few years ago it was very client driven where, you know, they were letting a lot of people go and, you know, hiring or keeping some of the strong people. And so it kind of shifted. And I think it's really been more what I've seen of a candidate marketplace where a lot of, you know, companies are retaining their talent and they're actually growing new opportunities. So before where, you know, one person was doing maybe multiple jobs of maybe two or three people. What we've really seen is they're really hiring additional people to staff, which is great for us. So we've seen both in the temporary side as well as our direct hire side. Temporary, a lot of times, is going to be very project-based. But for direct hire, we've seen a tremendous uptick in people actually starting, you know, day one as their employee.
Are you finding that businesses are kind of being conservative in hiring on their through their internally because of the Obamacare with the number of employees, the threshold of I think it's 30 employees or 50 employees with 30 hours. Are they playing that game where they're kind of being particular, and then companies like yours can really come in? This was a huge opportunity for you guys.
Sure, sure. I think that with the ACA, Affordable Care Act, you know, there was definitely been a lot of changes and, of course, more recent changes that were announced. You know, I think in any time, you know, companies have to do business. And so when they do have or have a need for someone, they're going to hire that need. So I don't think a lot of, I think a lot of companies were actually kind of taking a step back. But honestly, they've got to hire whatever the needs are for their marketplace.
So if I used to be the best fax mechanic or buggy whip maker in Atlanta, and now that job is kind of obsolete, what kind of job should I be looking at, or what kind of skills should I be looking to develop so that I'm attractive to Randstad and more marketable through a Randstad, or just in general? Are there a few categories that I should be taking a look at?
Yeah, you know, I think that every time, you know, when there is, you know, a shift, I mean, I even look at my past career where I shifted from a logistics world into more of a sales and professional recruiting world. You know, everybody has to change, and I think you change based on the marketplace. So for me, I think that someone, you know, where you get additional educational skills, or even just, you know, going in and showing what you can do. A lot of companies have strong training programs internally, so they're really hiring people that come from different walks of life or different business acumen, so they can make sure that they get the right person in there. And a lot of times, you know, it's not what they originally were either hired in to do, or even you know, were trained and had an education for that. So we have definitely seen a lot of people that have started in one industry and shifted to another.
Now, do you see any areas or any jobs that are, like, impossible to fill, like there's not enough employees?
You know, I think what you have to look at is not impossible. I think it just is, it's probably more challenging. You know, anytime, you know, one of the things that we definitely, I think, do a really good job of as we talk with our clients is really getting a true understanding of what the job and role and responsibilities are. You know, I use the analogy of a job description versus a job design. And one of the things that a job design is really what you want this person to get done versus what you want them to do. And I think one of the things we really try to focus on is what are going to be those top 3 to 5 things that this person is going to be specifically having to do. And then we try to mirror to that those type of backgrounds. So for instance, you were saying somebody that might not come from our industry, but maybe has that background actually can mirror to that and they do a very good job. But one of the things that we really try to focus on is being that consultant with our client to understand what their needs are. And then setting realistic expectations. I think that, you know, everybody wants someone that can do everything, but they don't want to always have to pay the financial piece that goes along with it. So for us, as we really talk about, and we have our meeting, we're talking about our salary guides, kind of what the marketplace from a, you know, low, mid, high point of what the market is paying for this type of talent, and then making sure that they're staying within, you know, the kind of the guidelines to find the right people.
Now, are there any jobs that are in the Atlanta market that are like kind of hot jobs?
Absolutely. You know, I look back and, you know, for me, I think the hot jobs I kind of said earlier was that professional business services jobs are really strong. Healthcare, you know, is absolutely probably in the last year and a half has been hot on the market. IT is always, I think we're never going to, you know, go away from IT. Financial, any type of financial services is still very strong. You know, and definitely there's been some growth, of course, in construction and trade. We're seeing now even just, you know, if you drive around Atlanta, you're seeing it where new homes are being built again, and which I love to see that, or the construction piece.
Right, you see those cranes back up.
Absolutely, again, right? Yeah. You can't get around 285 or 85 without seeing construction somewhere. So, you know, for us, I think even though I'm in the office and admin side, you know, we have definitely, we're the number one here in Atlanta for office and admin support, and we've seen a tremendous opportunity for us. So, you know, if I look at it and say, you know, what's the hottest out there, I think it's a combination of all different things. But, you know, really more the increase is probably the, you know, financial services, IT, hospitality, you know, healthcare, business services, those type roles.
So let's walk it through and take a really good look at exactly how it works. Here at Business Radio X, let's say that we wanted to bring on some more people to book guests or maybe even train some to do some producing. We talk with a Randstad representative and they sit down with us and help us map the role, or what happens?
Sure. So typically what will happen is, you know, as my staffing consultants or my salespeople are out there, they're really, as I said earlier, being that consultant with you, and they really need to understand what your business needs are and really what the environment is, because we want to make sure we have a good match. We talk a lot about our boss fit, our job fit, and it's so important that, you know, we have the right person in that's going to be there for the long haul. Whether even it's in a temporary role, you might need in a project, 2 weeks, 2 months type project, or if it truly is going to be for, you know, 2, 10, 5, 20 years for this person. So for us, as we sit down and we really kind of walk through that job design and understand specifically what the person is going to be responsible for doing, and then meet with some of the teams that they're going to be working with, and then come back and look in our database or look in our network of talent that we have and make sure that we provide within that, you know, 24 to 72 hours that, you know, 3 to 5 candidates that are the right fit for you. And then we schedule a time very quickly, as we like to do, is, you know, review the resumes. What are some things that you like? What are some things that you might need clarification on? And then for us, we're scheduling those interviews, and hopefully, you know, we're getting it filled very quickly for you. So we love to work and having that engagement with our clients. It's so important for us that we build a long-standing relationship. This is not about just filling an order for us. It's really about partnership.
Now, it seems like you almost have two clients. You have us as the client because we're paying for the talent, but you also have the talent because you have to keep them happy because
Absolutely.
They're doing the labor that we're paying for.
Absolutely. You know, our talent is just important to us. And you know, I love to hear, you know, when I talked, kind of listening to some of my offices, you know, we thank our talent every day because we would not be here if it was not for them. So whenever we're calling and needing someone for a short-term opportunity, or we're really having to understand kind of what their needs are, I think one of the things that we really do a great job of, you know, really looking at our engagement index. We're talking with employees and employers to find out, you know, why do they make change? Why do they want to leave their company? And so we can kind of talk a little bit more about that. But I think for us is really looking at our talent as our client too, and having the same type discussions with them, not just looking at a resume, but really understanding what they're looking for going forward for their next career path.
Now, part of you mentioned that you're kind of over the office administrator and things mm-hmm. like that. Now, say you meet a good candidate and they come in and they have certain skills, but you'd wish that they could be a little better at a certain, like, software, maybe, you know, some aspect of their that they need to be done on a day-to-day basis. Do you help them get those skills, or are you take all of your talent as is?
No, we absolutely do anything we can to help. And we have some, we call assessment tests that we can absolutely send to some of our talent. You know, we do a lot with data entry and executive admin support. So we send a lot of times our Microsoft Office or typing type tests to get a sense and feel. And then we have a tutorial that they can review and understand. So it is absolutely important to us that they know that we're doing whatever we can to get them as a marketable candidate. A lot of times, though, our suggestion option is for them to, you know, look at additional continuing education. You know, if they need or wanting to go into something different, they might need to look at some other resources there. And of course, we at any point, if it's someone that, you know, we can direct to another office, possibly. You know, we have offices, our manufacturing logistics, our finance and accounting, our engineering, anything that we can do to redirect this talent to make sure we set them up for success.
This must have a tremendous impact, if not altogether erase the turnover problem for a lot of organizations. Am I right about that? Because turnover is one of the most expensive things I think organizations contend with. But if I have someone at Randstad knows my business, knows what we're doing, I can stay ahead of that, can I?
Absolutely. Yeah, statistically, it's about 6 times the salary that with that opening there. So it is so important, when I look at even in a sales opportunity, even with our own company, you know, I've got to make sure that we retain strong people. And when we bring in new people, you know, into the organization due to growth, that we set them up for success. So absolutely, it's so important for us to make sure that we're working with our client and making sure that that person that we put into that role, whether in a temporary role or in a temp to hire, you know, it's interesting. I always chuckle a lot of times when a lot of our clients hire someone and they're not 100% sure, you know, what the long-term need will be. And we always get the call a few minutes later where they say, you know what, I want to keep this person on. And so I think, you know, really, you know, we lead with our talent. It is so important that they know that we're invested into them as well. And I love it when we have a strong match on both sides.
So now how do you, kind of find these talent? Like, what's your recruiting strategies? Are you utilizing any of the social media?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, times have changed. You know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, in the past 10 years of being in this business, I've definitely seen a full circle of different things. And one of the, you know, we, of course, you know, post all of our positions on randstadstaffing.com. This is a website that we utilize both in creating profiles for our talent, but also an area that they can actually go in and see what opportunities all around the country that we have opened. But one of the things that we definitely realized very quickly is, you know, looking at that active pool, we've got to find that semi-active or passive candidates out there that might not really know there is an opportunity. And as I was saying at the very beginning, we want to know who you are, because to me, it's always about timing. It could be now, it could be 6 months, it could be 2 years from now. So we still want to maintain that relationship. And when that right opportunity does come along, we want to have that engaging conversation. So definitely we're utilizing Facebook a lot. You know, we have a lot of our internal recruiters that are reaching out to people. You know, I will say I've been using LinkedIn since 2005, when there was probably 2 million people out there. And now it's what, you know, 150 million, you know, so it's interesting to see the shift in that business networking, where LinkedIn has really, I think, evolved and truly that resource. So, you know, we laugh about always getting connected to people, and it's so important. But I think, honestly, for me, it's people talking to people. We've got to get on the phone. We've got to have those engaging conversations with certain, you know, people that are out there in the marketplace. So we do know. You know, I think a lot of times we utilize these social media resources, which are wonderful, you know, through our own internal resources or external networking. But I think for us, it's really getting on the phone and having that direct conversation.
Is the same thing, can the same thing be said for the other side of the table? Like an organization like ours, we may not really need a lot of help between now and December, but we got a lot of new stuff going on going into next year. Should we start maybe building a relationship with a staffing consultant? You know, we don't want to wait to the last minute to start having conversations with these people, right?
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that when I said earlier about the consultant piece, you know, for us is really having that relationship, because it might not be now. You know, we talked about right. Timing on the talent side or the candidate side. It could be timing on the client side as well. So for us, it's really having those touch points throughout, you know, the weeks, through the months, through the years, that we know whenever that need does arise, that we can be a part of your decision-making process of hiring. And so, and sometimes, you know, I laugh, you know, we sometimes probably know your business better than you do. And it's a lot of times it's just through conversations, kind of, I use the quote, peeling that onion away and really getting a true sense of your business and growth and opportunities. So whenever we do come across someone strong, we always are skill marketing our talent to our clients, our prospects, because guess what? If we know your business and someone walks in our door that we want you to know about them, you darn right we're going to be sending it over to you and say, listen, you need to talk to this person, and this is why.
Now, recently, I believe you guys were named one of the top places to work.
Absolutely. AJC, number 4 large companies.
Wow. Now,
What are you guys doing over there that makes you such an awesome place to work?
I think we're doing something right.
Obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think for us, you know, as we talked about kind of the engagement index, of course, you know, I think AJC used workplace compliance, or I can't exactly remember the name, but they used a third party that was reaching out to our employees. So it was all, you know, for us, it was really about our employees sharing kind of why they stay with us. You know, I have a lot of people in my organization that have been with our company 10, 15, 25 years. And then some of the new folks that are coming on board that are with me, you know, we want to stay engaged and set them up for success. You know, we truly look at performance reviews. I think, you know, if we look at Georgia, we did kind of a engagement survey talking with some of the employees, and about, you know, half of it, under half employees would entertain a new offer from a different company. And, you know, when we start looking at why, you know, a lot of it is performance reviews, continuing education. You know, why does somebody make change? It's not always about the financial piece. It's about their boss. It could be where they have flex hours. It could be reward and recognition. And that's one of the things I think Randstad does an excellent job of, is really trying to, you know, have those conversations through our talent. We have an excellent training program. When someone comes on board, they typically go to a 15-week training that's both webinar-based. It's interactive. Action with the branches direct. It's actually visiting some of the other branches. So we really set them up for success going on forward. But then also looking at it and say, how can we have that professional development for you? So we really look at them and sit down with them and understand, do they want to be a manager? You know, do they want to move in a different industry? You know, where do they want to go? And so it's very important for us that we continuously have those conversations with our talent, and then reward and recognition. You know, I love when I see our contest winners, of course, and we have something specific that is going on, but we really do a great job of recognizing our employees, and I think that is part of why we've been so successful over the years, is we really take care of our people.
I'll be 50 next month, and I haven't had 15 weeks of training cumulative in my entire career. So these staffing consultants, how do they go to market? I guess what I'm asking is, how do they get to have this kind of conversation with someone they ought to be doing business with? Because I got to believe, if you sit across the table from one of these folks and you're having this level of a conversation, they would be all over it.
Well, one of the things that I love about our organization is we bring different business acumen to the company. So people from telecom, people from IT, people from staffing, it does not matter. You know, for us, it's really about having those engaging conversations. And that's truly sales 101. You know, it's a lot of, like I said, understanding your business and understanding what needs that you have and how can we fit that from the talent that we have in the marketplace. So for us, you know, a lot of times our staffing consultants, you know, they of course have, you know, their kind of targeted list of both prospects and clients. But what is very important for us is our current clients, is we stay engaged with them at all times. We want to know how they're doing. We're following up. We're making sure. And then also building relationships throughout that company. It's not just, you know, Joe over here. It's Joe and Susie and Rebecca. I mean, it's everyone within that organization, because we, as we said earlier, we want to know your business. So for us, in a prospect side, is, you know, is we'd have to have some different conversations and really having understand what their needs are. For us, a lot of times it's just really having them understand what we can do. I think, you know, for Randstad staffing, you know, it's a lot of our temporary work, but for us really right now is our focus has been direct hire, permanent business, and really helping them understand why they need to hire someone, you know, day one into the organization. So I think that we hire really good people and we train them well. And a lot of times they come from, you know, different industries, different walks of life, and they have been very successful in that.
And they're out there building those relationships and continuing to cultivate those deep relationships with their existing clients.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. The best part is every person they send out is kind of an ambassador for Randstad.
That's right.
Absolutely. And that's very important to us. As I said, they're the extension of us. So we want to make sure that, you know, they are exactly what our client needs. And like I said, we're following up with that client and making sure, and we're following up with that talent as well and making sure that, you know, they're getting everything that they need. I think one of the things that, you know, Randstad does a really good job of is when we have new hires, you know, to me it's first impression. You know, when we hire someone day one, there's balloons on their desk, there's welcome signs, there's, you know, everything that we've got to really make them feel welcome into our organization. And I will tell you, you know, we set up group lunches. You know, we really do a good job of that person coming on board. And I will tell you, you know, I've had a couple new hires in my teams, and, you know, that's one of the things that I want them to walk away with on day one, to say, wow, they wowed me on my first day.
I know exactly where I'm going to shop for a co-host. Well, this has been very insightful and informative. Thanks so much for coming down
and
visiting
with us.
No, thank
you. Thank you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, I love talking about this. This is what I live and breathe every day. And, you know, I think it also, you know, for me, it gets back to the leaders. You know, we have strong leaders within an organization. You know, we love what we do. And hopefully that comes across always, you know, when we're out there talking.
Well, it certainly does with you.
If there's a candidate or a company that wants to learn more, is there a website?
Absolutely. It's Ron Stodd, RANDSTADstaffing.com.
All right. How about hanging out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Sounds great.
All right. Next up on Results Matter this morning, we have with us from Uber, I don't know, is he the grand poobah of marketing?
The general manager.
I forget the title, but his name is Keith Radford. How you doing, man?
Good. It's really good to be back in the new office that you guys have.
Isn't this nice? So, yeah, we're broadcasting, for the listeners who don't know, we're broadcasting today's show from some new digs down in Atlantic Station. This is our Midtown studio, so thanks for the compliment.
Yeah. Thank you for having me again.
So get us caught up, man. What's happening over here at Uber?
Yeah, it's been since the last time I was on the show. We had just recently launched Uber in Atlanta. So for those of you who don't know, Uber is a mobile app that actually lets people request car service through the mobile app. So it's a free mobile app. You download it, set up your account. You request a car. So when we had launched, it was a black car service, so town car, SUV. Within about 5 to 10 minutes, your car arrived to pick you up, took you to your destination, and at the end of the trip, you actually don't need cash because your credit card is on file. So it's a pretty seamless transaction for getting around the city. And so what we recently launched about 2.5 weeks ago is UberX. So for those of you that don't know UberX, it's our low-cost Uber option. So the same convenience of Uber, but with generally hybrid vehicles and mid-range cars. So and for us, it's been great so far.
Now, that was because of the Business Radio X experience.
That's
you decided
right.
to ask
That's
next
exactly
to your name
right.
as well.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the thinking there?
Great question. So Atlanta is one of the more recent cities that has launched UberX, which has been tried out in, you know, San Francisco, New York, Chicago. And so the reason, you know, we really wanted to launch a lower cost option is to really expand what we do in the market. So, you know, you have a lot of people that want to try out the Uber service, but, you know, at that price point, it may not make as much sense. So giving them that same Uber experience, you know, at a different cost point, you know, essentially the way UberX worked, it's pretty much the same cost as a taxi, but you're getting the same chauffeur drivers, you know, licensed cars and et cetera as you get under the normal black car service. So
right. So the Uber, the original service was more the limo black car.
Correct. Yep. Exactly.
And the UberX is more the taxi.
No, it's actually, so we have primary cars on the UberX are kind of your Toyota Camrys, your Priuses. And so they're licensed as for hire vehicles like a limousine service would be. So, uh-huh. So you're getting that same, you know, same experience where you literally press a button within 5 to 10 minutes.
Same app or it's
exact
a different
same
app.
So when you actually open up the app, you'll actually see not only the black car service SUV, but now you'll see a different slide bar for UberX. So you don't have to download any new app. Just open it up and request.
Now, what about one of the challenges I think early on with Uber was like ride sharing? Like, say I wanted to split the ride mm-hmm. four different ways or something. Mm-hmm. Did you guys work
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, this is perfect timing for this conversation. So actually yesterday we just launched within the app is the ability to split fares. So that was a pretty common feedback we got from a lot of people that, you know, I take a trip, you know, it's a $20 trip and my friend owes me $10. But
right.
you know, I now have to chase this person down to get the $10 from them. So now actually within the app, you can invite friends to actually share the fare with you, that a friend that's taking a trip with you. They can be in a different city if you want, but typically it's a person that's riding with you. So you can actually, you don't have to worry about the aftermath of losing a friend over.
And that's the same thing for the Uber, UberX, doesn't matter what.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we really want to make it as simple as possible for people not having to download a separate app to use the same service. So, yeah, we got a lot of positive feedback from the ride, the splitting.
Yeah, I got to tell you, I'm not all that excited about that particular development because the way it used to work was Lee would pay for
app.
It, and I said, hey, I'll catch you on the next one. So for me, personally, that wasn't that helpful. But I like very much the idea of being able to hop in a Camry, or more importantly, like my kid was doing an internship downtown and was trying to get around, and I suggested that that she do Uber, and I love the idea that she would have the option of this you know, of this still great service, but a little more cost effective.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, we get a lot of questions about, you know, how does this fit into the Uber brand, which was essentially kind of this, you know, aspirational. You know, you show up to a restaurant in an Escalade, and it's a pretty awesome experience. But you know, if you're going around the city, going grocery shopping or just running errands,
you're running
it may not make as much sense. So yeah, you know, using a lower cost option, but still having that convenience. And then it's interesting in a lot of cities. You know, we did if you look on our blog, we've looked at kind of what the cost of having UberX versus your own car, and sometimes it can actually be cheaper if you're not, you know, having to pay the insurance on the car or you know, parking around the city. So, you know, I think it's a great alternative to getting around the city.
Now, in some other markets, the taxi cab people are not big Uber fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. In a lot of the markets, we actually do offer the taxi service. So, you know, we don't own any of the cars, so we partner with the companies. And so, you know, the way we think about it is to really give the people that use Uber as many options as possible. So, you know, we do recognize that, you know, some people may not be, you know, super excited about Uber's entry in the market. But, you know, for us, it's really giving the drivers, you know, an additional business opportunities, as well as
the driver
people.
And the consumer.
And the consumer, yeah. And so
consumers aren't complaining.
No, yeah. And I think for that, yeah, and I think for that, you know, our logo, our motto is everyone's private driver. And that's kind of how we think about it. We can give as many people the experience, as many different price points and different car types. I think that's super important for us.
So I got to tell you, I have a very specific experience with this. My wife works for IBM and until very recently traveled a great deal every week. So she has Fred, and Fred works for a specific company. Mm-hmm. But Fred also drives for Uber, and it's been fantastic for Fred. He absolutely loves it. So it's another income opportunity for him.
Yeah, it's great for the drivers. I mean, you know, we have drivers that have partnered with us on the system, and, you know, they're generally making anywhere from 30 to 50% more per hour, because the way it works for them is they partner with Uber, and we essentially work to fill the downtime of that driver. So
you're like a temp agency.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, nice transition.
How this is all coming together?
I know we should talk.
And so, you know, for the drivers where, you know, essentially a lot of times they were just doing, you know, a couple of airport runs a day.
And then waiting, right? They were just waiting somewhere.
And they were just waiting. Right. And, you know, they weren't bringing additional income. And so I think, you know, we got an email from a driver last year who said, you know, since he's partnered with Uber, he had been with us for about 2 months, can now buy Christmas gifts for his kids. And not to be sappy, but, you know, for us to get something like that really kind
of
speaks to what we're
telling
doing.
Everybody in the office and you're high-fiving.
That's
a big
exactly.
deal, right?
It really speaks, you know, volumes about what we're doing in the marketplace.
Now, because the app, when you turn it on, it finds your location, and all of a sudden there's all these little dots that are saying, look, there's 5 cars around you, pick one.
Yep,
right?
And a lot of the feedback we get, especially in a city like Atlanta, which is really driving focus, the ability to not have to drive yourself, worry about parking, you know, not, you know, drinking and driving, but also really, I think for a lot of people, it's the safety of you get a picture of your driver will actually show up on the app.
Right.
You know, people know exactly who's driving them, the license plate of the driver, they can call the driver. And at the end of the trip, you actually get to see the route you took, you know, make sure that it's the most most efficient route. And so we do a really good job on our end to push support. So any issues that you have, we make sure to respond within 24 hours of anything that happens on a trip.
And you guys do a great job of tying in with events. Right?
Yeah.
You guys sponsor a lot of events and get involved there.
Yeah, that's a big part of our growth. You know, we do a number of events and partnerships, and so a lot of them recently, you know, Atlanta's really known for the food and wine festivals, which is, you know, for us is it's kind of a no-brainer. So everything from the Atlanta Food and Wine Fest to Sweetwater 420 Fest. But we've done everything from, you know, the tech startups, you know, young professional organizations. So really getting being as involved with the city that we're in Atlanta specifically is super important to us. We don't want to be seen as kind of, you know, the tech company that kind of came in. We want to be really integrated into the city.
Now, how do you choose which events to get involved with?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of, you know, we don't always know which events will work, which ones will get us the right demo. But, you know, I think we've done enough that, you know, the way we think through it, it's you know, are we really reaching a new target that will use Uber?
Be alcohol there?
Will there be alcohol? That's
part of the profile. Right?
Yeah, exactly. We put that on the form. When organizations or events serve alcohol for them, that's a real pain point. So, you know, to make sure that the people that are attending are getting home safely to or from the event. You know, we do a lot of events with nonprofits, and so for them, sometimes we have a portion of each ride will actually go back to the organization. So
do you do like galas? Like if there was a gala, you guys can be the official driver, and then a portion of the fares goes back to them?
Yep, we've definitely done that. You know, there's an event coming up called For Joining Hearts in Atlanta, so we've done a fair amount with them. You know, participating, you know, basically until the end of the year with, you know, a variety of events. You know, we've done a lot with Georgia Tech, Hippopotamus, and things like that. So, you know, we're pretty broad in who we partner with, as long as they'll have us. Yeah, it's a good fit for the brand.
Right.
Yep.
So whether they formally partner with this crowd or not, I think we ought to Uber down. What's the thing we go to south of Georgia that I got a chance to do last time?
And
I
want to take in the country at Serenbe.
Oh, Afternoon in the Country in Serenbe. Yeah, I think we met before that.
Right.
And it's something, you know, it's a pretty long trip, but, you know, wine is flowing freely.
But then we can drink. When we're there, all four of us can drink, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so those are the types of things that we really try to get into integrated in that are, you know, unique, specific to Atlanta. You know, a number of partnerships coming up on the horizon that will be pretty interesting. So that's what keeps me busy.
Now, what do you guys got coming up?
So we have a pretty cool, I can't speak to specifics of it, but the end of this week, definitely be checking, you know, your email, Twitter. We're running a pretty cool event that's going to be kind of, you know, it's pretty large scale for us. You know, we're still a startup, but it's going to be pretty unique. And so, you know, we definitely want people to keep an eye out for that.
Okay. So are you a private company, plans on going public? In other words, because Lee's got deep pockets. And we both have loved this idea the moment we came across it. I mean, are you guys looking for...
We're trying to horn in on the friends and family.
Is there an IPO around the corner we should know about?
None that I know of. You know, I can't really speak to that. You're definitely still a private company and, you know, still growing fast.
Now, are you looking for more drivers, more like companies and events to partner with? What do you got? What's your greatest need right now?
Yeah, we're looking for all of that. You know, especially as we grow, you know, the UberX business. You know, we're definitely looking for people to continue to partner with, and also with the Black Car business. So, you know, drivers. You know, we'll work with them to get them permitted by the state, get their cars licensed. And so, you know, anyone that wants to be a partner with us, you know, just go to partners.uber.com to get in touch with us. And then for the events, you know, just shoot us an email at supportatl@uber, and we're definitely happy to chat with you, because, you know, for the events, that's really how we kind of get the name out. You know, we don't do the traditional marketing route.
Right.
So,
and that's one of your values that you add to your drivers, right? Is you're getting involved in these events, which are opportunities for them to drive.
Yeah, essentially for them, we're a lead generation for their business. So,
right.
You know, a whole demo that they weren't reaching, where it's younger, we do a lot with universities, for example. You know, we do a lot around drunk driving. And so for a lot of them who, you know, may not have had the marketing budget to really get into those markets, you know, Uber really does a great job to facilitate that.
And when Rebecca has someone gets a brand new assignment, especially if it's like a big temp to permanent assignment, you could Uber them the first day.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Isn't that a cool thing?
I mean, we need to talk, Keith.
Yeah, exactly. I think just for a lot of people, you know, I'm originally from Atlanta, and I come back, I haven't had a car in 15 years. So to be
so
able to...
How, this driving city you're able to manage without
Yeah, exactly.
A car, right?
And so, you know, I think having Uber, not worrying about, you know, if you're going to a sports game, and you don't have to worry about parking. A lot of times Uber will be cheaper.
Right.
Than parking or the ticket that you're going to get for when the meter runs out. I know from experience.
All right. Well, so the best way, if somebody wants to, they download the app, they can go to the App Store everywhere, right? On an iPhone or an Android phone?
Yep. So iPhone, Android app you can download, or you can set up your account online at m.uber.com or BlackBerry. So as long as you have a phone.
Even a BlackBerry.
Yeah. So as long as you have a phone that, you know, sends and receives SMS, you know, you can essentially take advantage of Uber.
And it's free app.
It's a free app to download, and you only pay once you take a trip. And so you can actually, the greatest part, you actually can estimate the fare before you've even taken a trip, so you know how much it's going to cost.
Wow.
And you don't need cash, so it's about as convenient a way, I think, to get around the city as you can
as
imagine.
You can, good stuff. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show, and you too, Rebecca.
Thank you.
All right.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Results Matter Radio.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.